Will you please turn to the book of Romans? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, therefore, by the compassions of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your intelligent service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The letter to the Philippians. Chapter 2, verse 5. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 15. As many, therefore, as are perfect, let us be thus minded. And if ye are any otherwise minded, this also God shall reveal to you. Chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. For the rest, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are amiable, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if any praise, think on these things. What ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Let us have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we gathered here this morning, our hearts are full of gratitude. As we remember thee at thy table, Lord, how thou dost love us and gave thyself to us in such a way. Lord, our hearts are deeply moved. We are thankful. We thank thee for what thou hast done for us, what a price thou hast paid for us. But dear Lord, we do acknowledge how much we have failed thee. We confess before thee that we are not what thou hast saved us to be. We ask thy forgiveness, and we come to thee with a repentant heart. We do desire that thou may apprehend us in the way that thou dost desire. We want our heart to be satisfied. Do speak again to our hearts. Deliver us from all darknesses and bring us into thy marvelous light, that we may be free to serve thee. We ask in thy precious name. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, we are deeply burdened with this matter of the mind, because we know there is a tremendous battle going on over the mind. I believe, brothers and sisters, as you look into the world, you will see that it is a battle for the mind. You find how men's minds are being brainwashed. The enemy knows that he can win the battle over the mind. He got the victory. This is something that is going on throughout the ages and everywhere. And even today, when we are coming to the end of this age, this battle over the mind is intensified. Hundredsfold, thousandsfold. And do not think that we, as God's people, are exceptions. In a very real, deep sense, we feel that the battle for the mind of the believers in our days are so much more intensive and fierce than ever before. But unfortunately, God's people seem to be unconscious of this battle. And this is the reason why we feel this time, as we gather before the Lord, we will bring this matter before you, dear brothers and sisters, that this battle for the mind is very real. It is going on in our mind. Do not think that you are an exception. We need light. We need understanding. We need to know the condition of our mind. And we need to be delivered from it. In the first century, the Apostle Paul, how he fought this battle over the mind. We are reminded of 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And there you find the Apostle Paul. He fought that battle of the mind over the Corinthian believers. He was with the Corinthian believers 18 months. He declared to them Jesus Christ and Him crucified. But after a number of years, he discovered that the enemy had a strong hold in the mind of these believers. These believers allow the enemy to build strongholds in their mind with reasonings, with high thoughts against the will of God. And even the Apostle Paul, he found that it was very difficult to deliver these people from that darkened, twisted mind. And the only weapon he could use was through prayer. And how he prayed that God will break the strongholds of the minds of these Corinthian believers and bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. Now do not think that this only happened in Corinth. Because in the letter to the Philippians, now we know the letter to the Philippians is a very intimate letter that Paul wrote to the Philippian believers. Because there was such a good relationship between Paul and the Philippian believers. And yet, even in Philippi, you find there was a battle over this matter of the mind. It began with two sisters, leading sisters. But in a way, they became rivals. Not fighting for position in the world, but somehow fighting for influence in the church. They were of not one mind. And because they did not have one mind, very soon you find a kind of darkness, heavy atmosphere spread over the whole church. And they lost joy in the Lord. And for this reason you find Paul, he wrote this letter to the Philippians. Now, brothers and sisters, if such thing should happen in the church in Philippi, which was almost like a model church, do you think that we today did not have the same problem? As you look into God's people gathering here and there, you find that probably the biggest problem in the church today is over the mind. Somehow you find God's people's minds were being captivated by the enemy. And yet, we are ignorant of it. Many situations happened. And when you go to the very root of it, you find somehow the enemy is able to build up strongholds over the years. And such strongholds stand against the will of God. So, brothers and sisters, we are deeply burdened over this matter. We need to understand how in the very beginning the enemy entered into the lives of men through the mind. In the Garden of Eden, we mentioned how the enemy threw a question. Implanted doubt into the mind of Eve. And when Eve accepted that temptation, her lusts began to conceive into sin. And when sin is completed, it brings in death. So, brothers and sisters, we already mentioned that before we knew the Lord, our mind, we thought, were normal. But actually, were abnormal. Our mind was darkened. But thank God, the first thing that God did in our lives to deliver us is let light shine upon darkness. And when God's light shone upon us, we began to realize where we were. We began to see our real condition. Just like the prodigal son, he began to realize it. And repentance was given to us. Now, we already mentioned what repentance means. It means a change of mind. This mind of ours that we received from our forefather Adam was a reprobate mind. It was a mind without moral discernment. And because of this, we committed many sins. And yet, we are not sensible to what we have done. So before we believe in the Lord Jesus, no matter who we were, we thought ourselves as almost perfect. We dare not say we were perfect, but almost perfect. No, that was my condition before I believed in the Lord. I always felt that the gospel is for those sinners. But I was too good to need the salvation of the Lord. And I think this is something probably in our mind, in every one of us. But thank God, one day light came into our mind. And somehow in darkness, we saw the light. We realized our real conditions. And by the grace of God, we repented. There was a change of mind. We turned away from sin, from death, and we turn to the Lord for life. But as we mentioned already, that even though we do, through repentance and believing in the Lord Jesus, we receive a new life in us. And the Spirit of God dwells in our new spirit. But unfortunately, our mind, that change of mind, is only temporary and superficial. When we were in our first love to the Lord, it seemed as if we have completely changed. Even our mind has changed. Because in our first love towards the Lord, you find that we love the Word of God. We love to pray. We love to have fellowship. We love to witness for the Lord. And if the Lord should ask us for anything, there was nothing too hard for us to give to Him. That was our situation. Because we are born again. We are born into the kingdom of God. We are now God's children. We have His life in us. And there is a love within us that God has put in. And we do love Him with all our hearts, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our understanding, with all our strength. And if this should go on forever, how good it will be. But unfortunately, probably, brothers and sisters, you begin to discover that even though within you there is a new life, new desire, you want to please God. You want to do God's will. And yet, very soon, you find your mind began to protest. You find that your heart, your life, wants God. But somehow, your mind still linger or look back to the past and long for the things that you long in the past. In other words, you know, it is like driving. I remember when one day a brother drove me home. As he drew me, he passed my home and went ahead. Why? Because his home was way ahead. It was a habit. The old habit. And unconsciously, you will find that your mind began to think in the old way. For a very short period. The world to you is nothing because of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But somehow, after a while, you'll find your mind begin to drift back towards the world. Your way of evaluating things did not change. What you loved in the past, you seem to have a love for it again. Your way of thinking was the past way of thinking. And when you are doing that, you find that there is a struggle in your life. So far as your inner man is concerned, you want the Lord. You want to do His will. But somehow you'll find the mind is against it. And old Adam is too strong for Yin Melecton. That's what the reformer said. He found that the old Adam is too strong. Our old mind is too strong. And it somehow blocked the way of the new life. And somehow it overcomes that new life. So brothers and sisters, I believe we all have gone through this period of what we call civil war. There is a civil war going on within us. Now, thank God for this civil war. Because of this civil war, we began to realize that something was not quite right. Just like the Apostle Paul in Romans 7. I want to do what I should do, but I couldn't. I do not want to do what I shouldn't do, but I do it. He said, because in me, that is in my flesh, there is no good. My flesh is sold to sin. So, brothers and sisters, I believe in our experience, we have all gone through this kind of life. And it is a life of up and down, and it is more defeat than victory. But thank God, there is a way of deliverance. And actually, this way of deliverance begins in the mind. Our mind needs to be renewed. Now, last night, our dear brother, Dana, he emphasized this point to us, that our mind need to be renewed. Because only with the renewing of the mind, there is transformation. If the mind is not renewed, there will be no transformation. That is to say, how can we be transformed from being in the flesh, walking in the flesh? How can we be transformed from this soul life, which is self-centered? How can we be transformed from loving the world and loving the will of God? There needed to be a transformation going on. And this transformation is in the renewing of the mind. So, brothers and sisters, this morning, I will begin from that. What God's people need today is the renewing of the mind. Our mind has much to do with our Christian walk. What we think is what we are. If we think of the things of the flesh, we walk according to flesh. If we think of the things of the Spirit, we walk according to the Spirit. Our way of thinking, our mindset, the minding that our mind is set upon, that decides the way we walk. So we need the renewing of the mind. But how can the mind be renewed? It is something that we cannot do ourselves. We cannot change our mind. Now, sometimes we say, well, I changed my mind. But you remember, that's very superficial. It is not a real change. Because when you go to the root of it, it is the same. It is a self that is at the root of it. Only God can change our mind. But how does He change our mind? What is the secret of it? Our dear brother read Romans 12, verses 1 and 2 last night. And he said, therefore, brethren, by the compassions of God, I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So in other words, the renewing of the mind is the work of God. But we have a responsibility. And our responsibility is to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Now, brothers and sisters, especially for the younger ones, but I don't think our older ones are accepted. This renewing of the mind through presenting our bodies a living sacrifice is so basic to our Christian life. And not only basic, but it is so profound that throughout our life on this earth, this is something that we need to experience day by day. Why must we present our bodies a living sacrifice? The Apostle Paul, from Romans chapter 1 to chapter 11, he shows us the mercies of God. When we were yet in sin, there was no hope. And yet God, in his mercy, he sent his beloved Son into the world to die in our stead. He bore in his body, his own body, our sins. And he took us with him, crucified on the cross. He not only justified us, he also sanctified us. Not only sanctify us, but glorify us. He put the Spirit of God, his own Spirit, in us. And by the leading of the Spirit, we can become sons of God. And out of the multitudes of the nations, how God, even before the foundation of the world, should choose us in Christ Jesus. And in time, he saved us. In other words, you find it is all the mercies of God. Brothers and sisters, the more you live, the more you realize it is but the mercies of God that you are what you are today. And with all the mercies, with all the finished work of Christ, he has provided everything for us, not only to forgive our sins, but even that we may live a victorious life, a life that will honor him, that will glorify him. Now, after we have received all his mercies, what should be our response? There can be only one response. Present our bodies a living sacrifice. This is a reasonable thing to do. This is the right thing to do. This is a holy thing to do. So the first Christian experience is consecration. Or as Brother Dana said, presentation. Our first Christian experience is consecration or presentation. I wonder, brothers and sisters, if all of us here have presented our bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord. So far as God's right is concerned, He has bought us with a high price. He has bought us with even the blood of His beloved Son. You can find no higher price paid than the blood of the Son of God. So we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And it is but right. God can demand that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. But God wouldn't do it. He gave us all these mercies and let us go. He did not want to do anything in a legal way, even though He has every right to do it. And that's the reason why. Even after we are saved, we can still live, if we want to, our own life, in our own way. Because God will not deal with us legalistically. He wants His love to touch us. His love to constrain us. And if we are constrained by His love, we voluntarily, willingly, not compulsed, forced, but willingly, voluntarily, gladly, we will present ourselves to Him and say, Lord, it is yours. It is a sacrifice. It is a living sacrifice. In other words, from now on, you live for Him, not for yourself. You give up your right to Him. Allow Him to do everything that He wants to do with your life. Are you afraid of that? You know, sometimes we think that if we present ourselves to Him and give over to Him, well, what will He be doing with us? Thank God. If we hold ourselves in our own hand, we make a mess of ourselves. But if we give ourselves to Him, you know what God is going to do with you? He wants to transform you from glory to glory according to the image of His beloved Son. That's what God wants to do with you. There we give ourselves completely to Him. Why do we hold back? It is much easier if in the beginning of your Christian life you do that. But anyway, this is the one thing that we must do. Brothers and sisters, if we haven't done that, we haven't begun our Christian life. You do not know what Christian life is. Give yourself completely, wholly to the Lord. It is a living sacrifice. And, brothers and sisters, the wonderful thing that happens is this. When you present your bodies a living sacrifice, the Holy Spirit began to work to transform and to renew your mind. On the basis of your presentation of your bodies, a living sacrifice, the Holy Spirit began to renew your mind and to conform your mind even to the mind of Christ. Now, why is it so? Because God, who creates us with a will, He always respects our will. He will not do anything to us without our consent. Think of that. He wants to do everything to us. Everything good, glorious, wonderful. But He waits until He gets your permission. Until you are willing. Until you give yourself to Him. Then He will take you up and He will do the work of renewing your mind, of transforming you. I often ask the young people, what is the will of God? And the answer is, anything that is against me is the will of God. And no wonder you do not love the will of God. But on the contrary, when you ask the young people not to love the world, it is the hardest thing for them to do. And you always get this answer. You are old. You have tasted the world. We haven't tasted it yet. Give us a chance to love the world. And when we have enough of its bitterness, we'll come back. But it can be too late. You cannot force it. You know, you cannot force a young brother or a young sister not to love the world. You cannot force them to love God's will, because their mind set, their mind, their way of thinking has not changed. To them the world is lovely, is beautiful, attractive. The will of God is hard, harsh, difficult, against them. But brothers and sisters, God never wants to force us to do anything. He knows what you need is a renewed mind. That's all you need. When your mind is renewed, something happened. What you considered as lovely, you begin to look at it as ugly. What you consider as ugly, now it begins to look so lovely. You know, this happened to the Apostle Paul. Because Paul in Philippians chapter 3, he gave us his own testimony. He said, that's what happened to me. A renewed mind. You know, on the way to Damascus, when the Lord met him, the first question he asked is, Lord, who are you? I don't know you. Who are you? But I acknowledge that you are Lord, because you are mightier than I. I'm no match to thee. I want to surrender myself to you, but who are you? And the second question is, what do you want me to do? In other words, he surrendered his life to the Lord. He presented his body a living sacrifice. What do you want me to do? Now it's up to you. And because of this, you find he is being transformed by the renewing of the mind. What he considered as precious to him, and he worked at it. You know, this young man, Saul, was different from any most young man in the world. Most young men wanted to seek the things of this world, but he didn't. He sought for religious things. And he made big progress in it. He was more advanced than his contemporary. He was so zealous. And he was serving God by persecuting the believers of Jesus Christ. He thought he was serving God. But a change of mind, a drastic change. The Holy Spirit gave him a new mind. A renewed mind. And in that renewed mind, he looked at all these as dross, as loss to him, for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, brothers and sisters, this thing should happen to every one of us. If it hasn't happened to you yet, there's something wrong with your mind. Your mind is not yet renewed. And if your mind is not renewed yet, you are not transformed. You will still love the things that you loved in the old days. And you will still dislike the things that God is calling you to. Brothers and sisters, you need to make a start on that. Now, if you have already made a start, in other words, you have already presented your bodies a living sacrifice. And thank God there is a degree of the renewing of your mind. But do you think that this is all? Not at all. This matter of consecration, of presentation, needs to have a beginning, but it is a lifelong experience. In other words, it is a door that you need to enter, but after you enter into the door, there's a way that you have to walk. So this presenting our bodies a living sacrifice is a continuous in our life. Not because 5 years ago or 50 years ago you present your body as a living sacrifice. Therefore today it still works. It doesn't work. You need to present your bodies daily, continuously. It is like the burnt offering. You know, the burnt offering is a whole offering. It is for acceptance. And the burnt offering has to be offered one in the morning and one in the evening. And the fire of the burnt offering never goes out. In other words, it's burning day and night, day and night. And the sacrifice is there, day and night, continuously. So, brothers and sisters, do not think that you have presented your bodies before and that's enough. No. You need to present your bodies a living sacrifice day and night. And the fire should never go out. Especially when you come to a crisis. You know, life is full of crisis. When you come to a crisis, you cannot get through it. Maybe you love something or love someone. And the Lord began to show you that you have to give it up. But you couldn't do it. You struggle over it. You cannot overcome it. Because your mind in that area has not been dealt with. Has not been renewed. The Lord is not yet everything to you. So, brothers and sisters, at that time, how do you get over that crisis? The secret is, present your bodies once again a living sacrifice. A deeper consecration. And as you yield yourself in a deeper way, brothers and sisters, you discover somehow it's easy. Your mind has changed. What holds you, held you on so tightly, suddenly get loosened. It doesn't mean much to you now. The Lord means everything to you now. Brothers and sisters, I believe you have such experiences. So this renewing of the mind has to go on continuously. Just like in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul said, our inward man is renewed day by day. Just like in Colossians and in Ephesians, that this transformation, this renewing of our mind is going on continuously, that we may be transformed according to His image. We do not have His image yet. We have maybe a beginning of His image in us. That is, His character begins to incorporate in our lives. But that image needs to grow until through the full knowledge, we grow into the full knowledge of Christ. So, brothers and sisters, this matter of the renewing of the mind through presenting our bodies is a lifelong, continuous process. And I do hope that we do not come to a point to see that we have graduated. We are all learners. We are still learning. So that we can be transformed from glory to glory, even as by the Lord the Spirit. Now, brothers and sisters, having said this, then we would like to see what kind of mind is this renewed mind. You know, the letter to the Philippians, in a sense, give us a glimpse into the personal life of the Apostle Paul. There he, as it were, opened himself to the Philippian believers of what the Lord has done in his life. And when you read this letter, you cannot but be arrested by the thought, the place where the mind occupies in this letter. You find that he's trying to share with us this renewed mind of his. You know, in the first chapter, you find Paul, he was in Rome as a prisoner. He was chained to a soldier day and night. He lost his privacy. And he lost his freedom, his liberty. He couldn't go out. Even though he was allowed to stay in his rent apartment and people were allowed to come and visit him, and yet he was never by himself alone. He was chained to a soldier. Day and night, as a prisoner. Now suppose we are in that kind of position. How do we feel? Probably, first of all, we will murmur. Why am I here? I haven't committed any sin. On the contrary, I'm doing something good. I'm preaching the gospel. And why should I be in prison like this? And why should God allow it to happen like this? And if I'm serving Him, now why does He not serve me? Brothers and sisters, probably that will be our thinking. And if you think that way, you lose your joy. It is dead. The minding of the flesh is dead. But here you find the Apostle Paul. Here he was in that prison, and yet he was full of joy. He has so much joy that he can comfort the Philippian believers. They were not in prison. They only had a little problem in their midst, and they lost their joy. When you lose the joy, you lose the strength. Paul was in such an environment, in prison, and yet his way of looking at it, his way of evaluating it, his way of thinking about it is so different. He said, God puts me there that I may be a testimony, not only to the world, but to Caesar's house. How can you enter into Caesar's house and preach the gospel to them? But here you are. He was able to preach to the Caesar's house. So he thanked God for that. And even when he was there, some brothers, legalistic brothers, they tried to increase his sufferings by preaching another gospel. And yet he said, even so, Christ's name is mentioned. Brothers and sisters, how can he do it? His mind is different. He has a new mind. His thinking is different. He looks things differently. He can see deeper than just the surface. He can see into the will of God. And he was joyful, happy about it. Brothers and sisters, that's a new, renewed mind. So in chapter 2, he said, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. Our Lord Jesus, when he came into this world, he had a mind. And what kind of a mind was that mind? He who is equal with God. He who has the form, permanent form of God. Equal with God is not something to grasp at. It is his right. Because he is God. And yet, for loving us, he emptied himself. He cannot empty himself of his deity. Because that's what he is. But he emptied himself of all the glory and honor that surround his deity. Without emptying himself, he cannot be a man. But by emptying himself, he took up a form of a bond slave. In other words, he came into this world in the fashion of a man, but in his heart is the heart of a bond slave. He came to be a slave, no right of his own. The Father, God's will is everything to him. That is his mind. His mind is to do his Father's will, even unto death, and the death of the cross. Brothers and sisters, this is the mind of Christ. And the Apostle Paul said, let this mind be your mind. Our problem with the mind is self-centered, self-interest, self-confidence, self-pride, self-opinion. Everything is controlled by self. Me, I. Sometimes it may be the good flesh, but it is still my flesh. It is hard for us to lay down ourselves. You know, the most difficult thing in our lives that God is dealing with is this I. That's the most difficult thing. Martin Luther, the reformer, he was not afraid of the emperors and the popes and the cardinals and the great men. But he said, I'm afraid of the old Adam in me. Brothers and sisters, you know what is our problem? Our problem is in our mind. Self is still on the throne. That's our problem. How can the self that sits on the throne of our mind be dethroned and let Christ sit in our mind? That is salvation. This is not only our personal problem. This is the problem of the church. We cannot lay down ourselves. Why can we not? Because we think too highly of ourselves. We are afraid to lose ourselves. We think it's losing our self-respect. No. It's losing our self-pride. Why you find God's people are against each other? Their minds got into conflict. Sometimes you look at things that are happening. They are very minor. And yet somehow you find that even though the things itself is minor, and yet it becomes so impossible. Why? Mind. You cannot let go. I knew two very spiritual persons, highly respected, and yet there was a conflict between them. And they all want to be reconciled. But they never reconciled. Why? Because one said, The problem begins with you. You should apologize first. And the other said, the problem begins to you first. You should apologize first. Neither was willing to humble himself. And the problem never solved. They both died. Brothers and sisters, I look at the problems in the church today. This is the problem. We do not have the mind of Christ. Paul said, in lowliness of mind, esteeming the others as more excellent than you are. And if your mind is this kind of mindset, is there anything to strive at? Anything that you cannot let go? Let the mind of Christ be your mind. So, brothers and sisters, in one sense, when you see the mind of Christ, you tremble. Because you do not have that kind of mind. But in another sense, you thank God. Because this is what the Spirit of God is doing. He is renewing your mind. He is bringing your mind out of yourself into Christ. Until the mind of Christ be your mind. And when the mind of Christ becomes your mind, brothers and sisters, not only you are set free. Among the brothers and sisters, you are a free person. There is nothing that can bring you down. So you find even in chapter 2 of the Philippians, Paul, he said to the Philippians, I offer you as a sacrifice to God. And if I'm poured out as a wine offering upon you, I'm glad. I'm willing. In other words, he did the thing to bring these brothers and sisters into a sacrifice unto God. But he said, I'm just willing to accompany you as a wine offering. That is joy. I rejoice with you when I see you sacrifice to God. I rejoice with you. There is no self there. It is Christ. And he even mentioned Timothy. He said, Timothy. You know Timothy. A young man. Everyone is concerned with his own business. But Timothy is concerned with you, with God's business. He served me as a son to a father. Not only Timothy, Epaphroditus, their messenger to Paul. In order to fulfill his ministry, he almost came to death. He was sick to death. And yet his heart was with the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, there is no self there. In the mind, the character of the mind, the nature of the mind, the very constitution of the mind is Christ, no longer self. And unless that is being done, brothers and sisters, all so-called transformation is superficial. just quickly. In chapter 3, you find the mindset. This mind, that is the mind of Christ, is set upon Christ. So you find the Apostle Paul. He said, I consider everything as loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. His whole mind is set upon Christ, to know Him and the power of His resurrection. Fellowship with His suffering, conform to His death, that I may arrive at the outer resurrection from among the dead. I do not confess that I already arrived, but I am pressing on towards the goal. This is the mind. He said, if anyone who is perfect, that is who is matured, if you are a matured person, this should be your mind. Your mindset should be upon Christ. And if you are otherwise minded, God will show you that you should be so minded. And then finally, you find in chapter 4, you know, our mind, God created our mind to be used. Our mind cannot be blank. You know, the Eastern religion, the so-called transcendental meditation, is to try to make your mind blank. And when your mind is blank, according to the Word of God, the enemy, Satan, is able to get into your mind. So, brothers and sisters, our mind should not be blank. We should use our mind. But unfortunately, you find our mind is bombarded by all the things around us. The advertisement, the television, the radio talk, the books, and news, and all these things, you find that these things bombarded us. Our mind. Our mind is filled with filthy things. And especially today, with young people. You know, here you find the enemy is trying to bombard your mind, to fill your mind with all these unholy things, with all these evil things. And if our mind is being filled with these things, and you begin to think about these things, and you find your mind is captured. It's a real problem. So, brothers and sisters, on the one hand, we need to be careful not to allow these things to enter into our mind and lodge there. They will become the strongholds of the enemy. And they will stand against the will of God. So whatever you see, whatever you read, whatever you hear, you need to be careful. I do want to warn young brothers and sisters. Be very careful about what you see, what you read, what you hear. Because through the ear door, through the eye door, you find the enemy is trying to reach into your mind and build strongholds there. Now, how are we going to fill our mind with the right thing? And that's what Paul said. He said, whatever is good, whatever is noble, whatever is amiable, whatever is honest, whatever is holy, if there is any virtue, think about these things. You know, we need to think. But think the right thing. Don't think the wrong thing. You know, if you think the wrong thing, gradually your whole imaginations will be evil. Be careful about it. So try to fill your mind with the things of God. Fill your mind with the Word of God. Meditate upon the Word of God. Let the Word of God store richly in your heart. Brothers and sisters, then when you are in trouble, God's will come out and solve your problem. So we need to be careful about our mind. We need to put on the helmet of salvation. Do not allow all these things to occupy our mind, and think rightly. So, brothers and sisters, there I feel David's prayer is so precious. In Psalm 139, verses 23-24, he prayed, "O God, search my heart. Prove me and know my thoughts. See if there's any evil way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." How we need to bring our mind to the Lord and ask the Lord to prove it. Because we do not know our mind. Prove it. Show us. And see if there's any evil thoughts in me. The evil in another translation is idolatrous. In other words, if aside from God, we worship something else in our mind and lead us in a life everlasting. So let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, we do want to thank Thee that Thou art able to renew our mind and transform it, conform it to the mind of Christ. Lord, for this we are thankful. And show us the way. Enable us to really present ourselves daily, hourly, and allow Thee to work it out to the glory of God. We ask in Thy precious name. Amen.